So we're holding by Nesiva Torah, Mayim Merishon, also with the Shema. Remeir Omer, Kol Osik B'Torah L'Shema, Zoche L'Devarim Harbe. Remeir says that anyone who is Osik B'Torah L'Shema receives, merits a lot of things. V'lo od el shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. Kol ha'olam kulo kedai, it's a song, everyone should know that one. Right, the whole world is worthwhile for this one individual who learns Torah L'Shema. Nikra Reya Ahu, the person is all quoting a Mishnah from Pirkei Avot, as it says here. It's a Brisa from Pirkei Avot, is back off. Nikra Reya Ahu, the one who learns Torah L'Shema is called a beloved friend. Oyves a Makoyim, Oyves a Brias, he loves Hashem, he loves other people. Skips a couple things here. Umabasha Nava Beira, and he's clothed in both humbleness in fear of God, and people will appreciate receiving from him counsel and advice. And he even is given kingship and rule, and he's revealed to him the secrets of the Torah, and he becomes like a spring that is gaining force and a river that is doesn't stop. It's a lot of praise for the one who, not only praise, right? It's a lot of praise for the person who's learning Torah L'Shema, but it's also telling you all the great rewards that a person gets for learning Torah L'Shema. As I stated in the Braisa, right? We know Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos is a collection of Braisios, it's not really Mishnayos. It's a collection of brises about Kinyan Torah, attached at the end of Pirkei Avos. The minhag is to learn about Pirkei Avos. So, in the Perek Vav, this is what the brise says. The Tzarek Lahagdir, Mau Esek Teire Lishma. Let's define. This is what Yitzi's been waiting for. Let's define what does it mean to be Osek B'Torah Lishma. Osek b'Torah l'shma. V'lama ino omer kol osek b'Torah l'shmo yisbarach. What's l'shma as opposed to l'shmo? What's the difference? L'shmo yisbarach means you're learning Torah for the purposes of Hashem. Right? But that does not say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're learning the Torah for the purposes of itself. The Torah is feminine. L'shma means for the purpose of the Torah itself. L'shma would be masculine, would be for the purpose of Hashem. Od yesh lahavin b'maymer remeir shezunich l'dvarav harbi b'heshev l'ozik l'honi ma'ilus. Remeir says that you receive a lot of great things, and then it goes on and continues to list all of these wonderful qualities. Shebevadi yesh b'zakav klali l'chol enyonim alol. There must be a central theme that is enveloping all of these different things. In other words, what is the central theme that parallels in each one of these different inyanim that a person is like? It's not just a random collection of all the good things that a person receives in the world. Rather, they must be that they all have a source, a root, connected deep into somebody who's learning Torah L'Shma. Now, why is it that learning Torah L'Shma, what does it do for you? What does it create? What's the toeles? That as a result of that, a person has all of these Torah, all of these wonderful things that he receives. There should be some parallels. In other words, furthermore, he asks a lot of kashas here. As opposed to all mitzvahs in the Torah, if I shake the lulav and I do it with all the yidurim and all the kavanas and all the, you know, gutzachin, all the great things, I'm not zeichel d'varim harbe like I am with Torah l'shma. Even if I shake the lulav l'shma, I'm not zeichel d'varim harbe. Specifically, limud asek Torah l'shma is what creates and what consequently gives me these d'varim harbe. What is so special and unique about Esek Torah L'Shma? By the way, one of the greatest milas of Rav Dessler They say that Rav Dessler's greatest mailah. Now we're not learning Rav Dessler now, but one of the greatest mailahs of Rav Dessler is that it was mechadish and mahalich of how to learn properly a gadata in Torah. It wasn't a chiddush as much as just bringing it down for our generation, making it palpable for us to understand. But just like Reb Chaim Brisker showed us a derech halimut of how to properly learn Gemara, and from his time and on, halacha parts of Gemara, from his time and on, you know, the whole style of learning Gemara drastically changed, and we now focus on the Gemara in a very different way than we did before. Even the people that aren't quote unquote briskers are highly influenced by the brisker derech. So too in a Gada, Reb Dessler was mechadish how to appropriately look at an agadata and to see the depths of the agadata that a normal individual doesn't notice. And his number one key that he doesn't say it as a, it's not like you open up Reb Dessler and he says this is how you learn an agadata. But if you learn through Reb Dessler enough, you notice that this is like a basic belief that he carries throughout all, you know, five volumes of his of Michtam Eliyahu, is that every word of the Agadata is bedavka, and every word is significant. So, if you're looking at a brisa, a isek with Torah Lishma, so if that's could ask, what is isek, as opposed to limud or something like that? What is Lishma? Why Torah? Right? Every word is significant. Every word is substantial. And there's a message behind it. So, what the Rebbe is doing now, he's approaching this brisa by saying, don't take it at face value. Don't take it as just like, you know, pure, cute ideas to make you feel, a good pep talk to make you learn the Torah better. No. The Torah is dafka. The brisa is very specific, telling you things that are significant, and you should take the words very, very, very precisely.
What was the way of learning before?
It's not for now, but the more common theme that was known is something called pilpul. It's connecting the dots between different sugyas and comparing and contrasting different ideas and why it's like this over here and like that over there. And less focused on the words in the page in front of you and more focused on a general picture of Shas as a unit and how everything adds up and fits together.
Which one did we do which one
now? Now we're more focused on the local. Through the local you can see everything. It starts locally. So it says the Nesiv Shalom of Chazal Isa, the Gemara in Sota, ala posik kiner mitzvah v'tayra or Tola HaKosav is a mitzvah v'ner, v'es a teira be'or. That the Pasuk is telling us that mitzvahs are connected to the candle, whereas Torah is connected to the light that emanates. Moshe l'adam shoyim mahalach be'ishon lailo v'afelo. Person's walking in the middle of the night where it's very dark. U'misyara min ha'koytzim v'apchasim. And he's worried about the thorns and the lowly people that are along the way. I mean, at least him and from the robbers that are going to attack. Then you doesn't know which way to go. Hit the gets an air. He lights the candle. Needs him in a beiris akaitz. He lights the candle. If you turn on the lights to your car, you know where the potholes are. Then you're not going to drive in a pothole, hopefully, right? But dying misyara min alistim. Then you he still is scared, even when the lights on. Right, so he doesn't drive into the paddle, he doesn't know which way to go, the GPS isn't working yet. Right? And he doesn't know where are the listim that are going to attack him. But when it comes daytime, now he's safe from everyone. Now he can see, in front of him, he can see to the sides, everything's obvious. So says the Rebbe, Torah is in the category. Torah is represented as, or the analogy of Torah is the fact that just like the day allows you to see all around you, just like the day lights up everything. So too, Torah makes everything bright and shiny. Torah adds light to the world. As opposed to a mitzvah, which is specifically an or, it's a candle, it's a flashlight that directs it in a unique and specific direction. It doesn't change the whole environment. It doesn't change the whole night into day. But it gives you a way to see in the darkness. That's an analogy, one for the other. Just like a candle lights, quote unquote, lights up the night, but doesn't change the night into day, so to a mitzvah lights up our life to some way. But Torah changes it from day to night, from night to day. So he says, it's a beautiful analogy, but what does that mean? What does that mean? Why is Ma'ilas HaTorah considered like lighting up the day? Omer Chazal, Alpaim Shona Kodma Teira Li Oilam. Bereshis Rabbah tells us that Torah pre-existed the world for 2,000 years. Odei Sotheg Mar Shabbos. Tanai Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Imaisa Bereshis Hashem made a condition with creation. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, okay. In Mekabel and Yisrael is a Torah mutav. It's Yisrael will be Mekabel Torah. Wonderful, everything's great. V'inlav achziras ha'olam l'toyi bavo. If not, then I will return the entire creation to nothingness. In other words, there's an implicit condition in creation that creation will only exist as much as Yisrael is going to be Mekabel Torah and Har Sinai. V'lav and akesh ha'shalkim ha'olam in my Torah. So to understand, why is it that the world depends upon the Torah? Why is it that the world depends upon Kabbalah? The Svarim tell us that the creation of the world, Brias HaOlam, Olam is Milashin He'elem, hidden. That Hashem created the world is from the same root as the word hidden. Shekol ha'olamos ha'elyonim gavoa mi'al gavoa, kulam me'irim u'mezhirim me'or elukusa yizbarach shemo. That all of the upper echelons of creation, all of the upper worlds, as high as they go, they're all lit up, they're all enlightened, I think is the proper word, from the light that emanates from Hashem Yizbarach. I'll explain in a second. But also Dover, and that same thing, that same light, Be'etzem Gam Ba'olam Achimri Hazeh, also exists in this physical world. As we mentioned on a different time, as we mentioned at a different time, that the world was created in four stages. To put it that way, there's the Olam Atzilus, right? Yetzira, Bria, Vasiyah. The four steps of creation, and the easiest way to understand this, the easiest way to picture this is imagine somebody one day, boom, gets an idea, I want to build a house. It's a thought. That thought is completely connected, it's completely entangled in the person's brain. It has no independent existence, but it's with the person. That thought, I want to build a house, doesn't have a form to it. It hasn't taken on a shape, what size, where. I want to build a house. Wonderful. Great. Right? The next step is to figure out, okay, now let me think about how do I want to build that house? How big do I want it to be? How small? How many rooms? Do I want a brick? Do I want it stucco? Right? All the different, the form of the house. That idea begins to take a shape. But it's still an idea. It's still intimately connected in the person's head. The next step in the process is now to draw. The architect sits down and draws the drawings of how you're going to build that, the blueprint. Step number three. And step number four is to take the blueprint, which you no longer need the person any longer. You have it on the piece of paper here. Is to take that blueprint and to bring it into reality, bring it into fruition. That is the four steps of creation. Now, at the end of the day, right, at the end of the day, a history of architecture, a historian of architecture, can walk around in the different cities of Europe and will tell you what tekufa, what time period is this building from, is that building from. Sometimes some people have such unique styles that from seeing the physical product that exists, they can tell you who the architect was that designed the house. Milchatchilo. You travel through America, there's a very different architecture that exists in New England, in New York, and down south. Especially if you go to the older houses. Every place has its own designers, its own design, unique to that area. And somebody who has a trained eye and has a historical knowledge is able to see the architect in the final product. But if you're not trained, if you haven't grown up with if you haven't learned how to look backwards, how to re-engineer, how to look from the end product to figure out the beginning, so all you see are a bunch of beautiful structures, but you don't see the architect in the work. That is a mushel for the other Matzilus, Yitzira, and Atzilus. Atzilus, the mushel, is the idea to build the world. Yitzira is the form. Let's take that idea and expand upon it and make it into what it's going to look like. The Bria is when it begins to, quote-unquote, draw the blueprints with precision of exactly what's going to occur here and there, laws of nature. And then you have the Olam HaAsiyah, the world that we live in as it is today, the physicality. Says, let's read the next three lines of the Nesivah Shalom where he elaborates. He says like this. This is actually 100% true that this light, the architect's image, or the architect's idea is really a better way, is 100% clear and present in the final product that exists. Right? Everything that he wanted is 100% in that final product. That final product represents his original idea. That the whole world is full with the kavod and the aura of Hashem Yisbarach. But in order for us to have the ability to have bechira, for us to have the ability to decide to have a connection to good and evil, and to choose which mahalach we want to take, Hashem hides his behelim. The world is masking that or elokusa yisbarach that exists in the world. If every time we walked and every step we took and every image we saw, the only thing we noticed was or elokusa yisbarach, then there would be no capability for a person to ever imagine, dream, to wish, to will, to want, to aspire, to desire, to ever do anything wrong.
What does that mean?
Everything would be clear and present and obvious as to what you are going to do. You would be directed by human nature to do good, and there would be no makum for bechira at all. In order that there should be a place for bechira, in order that we should have that capability to choose between good and evil, and to have some connection to bad, Hashem was ma'alim, he hid himself, that you should not, when you see the tree outside, you don't see the word eitz. At the end of the day, if it wouldn't be for the word eitz, then at the end of the day, that tree would not exist. Because we know that Hashem created the world with b'masar ma'moros nivra olam. Every word Hashem said, quote unquote, created a reality in creation. And the olam d'varach nitzav b'shamayim, that Hashem's words are what maintain that reality to continue to exist. If Hashem removes the word, then that entity dissipates, doesn't exist anymore. So the tree is a representation of the word eitz. If you look deeply, then you see the word eitz in the tree. But it's not obvious. And the reason it's not obvious is in order that we're able to have a bechira.
This is
So somebody looks at this world through very physical eyes. All he sees is a very physical reality, a physical entity that completely hides from him the aura of Lukus Yisbarak that exists there. The Eino Roas Habori Yisbarak Shemoles Kol Arutz Kavodi Machmas Hachoymer Master Aliyah. He doesn't see Hashem at all in creation. He doesn't notice Hashem there because of all of the physicality that hides the Or Elyon that is there. B'cheneged ze, he Or Toresim Hakadosha Shehi Meira Es HaHelev. The Torah comes along and it sheds light on that Helev, on that mask, on that disappearing act. If you look through the oratoria, you're able to see the world through spiritual eyes. You're able to see the oratoria that's hidden in creation. And there's nothing else other than him. In other words, we know the famous Rambam, Kirshman quoted it last night, that Rav Shach used to talk about all the time, that one of the ways to get to belief and yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to look in creation. As Rav Shach used to say every year, Kirshman quoted this last night, every year in Kailah, he used to say this. Rav Shach would, every Yarchi Kala in Panovich, they used to have a Yarchi Kala every year. They invite Baal Batim to come back to learn in Yeshiva for a few days. And the Gedolim, the Rosh Yeshivas, would give very, very, you know, powerful shiurim and lomdis, halacha. And they'd be intertwined within this divrei Musar and Hashkafa. And Rav Shach used to say every Yarchi Kala, we talk about Emunah. Every single year by Chakala, we talk about Emunah. And he would always talk about the orange. That the orange only changes colors when it's ripe and it's ready to be eaten. It's green like the tree until it wants to attract attention. And when it wants to attract attention, seeds are ripe enough that now the seeds will be able to produce other orange trees. It changes colors that all the animals and every person can now see the orange. And it will recognize and realize there's a fruit on the tree. And not only that, you open up the orange, every single seed is protected. It has a sac. And you divide the oranges into different sacks of juice, and each sack can be planted in different places. And each seed can create its own tree. And the chachma that existed in this orange tree, and this orange, Shach used to say, if you bite into an orange too early, it's hard, does it taste good? If you wait too long, and the seeds need to get out, so the orange gets, it rots, and the sacks break down. And the chachma of this orange, he said, EFSH is impossible not to realize that there has to be some creator that created it this way. It's too perfect for it to have just happened by itself. So the Rambam says that if you look at the world, if you look at science, and you look at nature with correct eyes, and from a proper perspective, you'll obviously be dictated, and you'll obviously determine that there's a Bayer Eden. It'll be a idea. It won't be an idea, maybe, possibly. You will know 100% that's true. It's impossible any other way. However, if you don't think deeply, or if God is not an option, like in science, right? The easiest option might be to say this by your idol. But if that's not a valid option on the table, so you're going to cook up an excuse to figure out how to do it some other way. The Big Bang Theory, whatever other theory, Darwinism. Because there's no option of saying HaKadosh Baruch. So if you don't have an option to say God, so you figure out it's 1 in a 35 gazillion chance that it actually worked out that way, say it! I'll take my chances because I have no better option. Right? It's 1 in 35 gazillion or 1 in 35 multi-gazillions. So I'll take the one of 35 gazillion. That's, you know, more likely, right? No one in the world is going to risk a dollar, even a dollar, even 10 cents on a 1 in 35 gazillion chance. They won't. You won't even be willing to give up 10 cents on that chance. So any rational person who has an option of saying there's a Bayer Island is going to say there's a Bayer Island. Science doesn't give you that choice. It's not a valid answer. It doesn't exist in the scientific method. So maybe they can't say such thing. They have to figure out something else. Right? But it's a yidia. It's a yidia. Yistakel bebriya. You go look at nature, and that's what you're going to be led to. But that's only if you think. If you don't think, all you're going to see is a tree. You're going to see a fruit. You'll see an apple. You'll see an orange. You'll see a bunch of animals. Because the world can hide the Ora Lekusi Yisbarach that exists within. It's easy to miss it. It takes a lot to think. It's hard to think, right? It's tiring. It's exhausting. Right? But if you think hard, if you look at it deeply, so it's obvious. That's the difference between Einayim Ruchnis and Einayim Chaimis. The Torah can give you Einayim Ruchnis. Ruchnis. The Torah can change your lens. The glasses you wear are no longer the physical glasses, become spiritual glasses. That it changes the lens that you see the world through, and then you're automatically driven, you're automatically dictated, and it's clear to you. When you look around, all you see is Hashem everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. You don't actually see Hashem, but you see the representation. You see it's obvious that there's Hashem in the world. You see it's obvious that Hashem is running the world. It's obvious Hashkocha Seloiki. There's obviously Haga happening through our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's impossible in the other way. The Torah's meir, it lights up the world because it changes it from night to day. You no longer see the world from the same perspective. Yet Hashem, we will continue here next time. So, I got it. Never mind.